The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Tom and Rory from Classic 78. You're listening to Talking Metal. Be sure to check out Classic 78 at Classic78.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Here's an old classic that sounds just as good today as it did when we were kids.
Hey! little classic Kiss, Calling Dr. Love. You can't go wrong with that one. Guys, welcome to the Talking Metal Podcast, a Kiss-themed episode for you today. We got Classic 78 joining us, and also Ron Keel. Both of these interviews were recorded at the Atlanta Kiss Expo. Before we get into the episode, let me just remind you to write us a 5-star review on iTunes, please. Also, use our Amazon links. Go to talkingrock.net or talkingmetal.com. Before you do your shopping on Amazon, you just use our links to take you over to Amazon, and then you go about your business and shopping as you normally would. It's just an additional step, and that's for our listeners in Canada, the United States, and also the United Kingdom. Different links for each country, so make sure you're using the right links, and please support what we do by using our Amazon links. Thanks, guys. Also, we got, of course, PayPal donations you can do, and Patreon. Please join us on Patreon for exclusive content, and everyone who is a Patreon pledger or supporter, I don't even know what you call them, gets a free t-shirt. So check us out on Patreon with a monthly pledge. Emily, the Kiss Expo now, Emily's here with me, guys, was nearly well over a month ago, like probably like a month and a half ago. Any memories, favorite memories from the Kiss Expo?
Just fun.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it really was.
Good vibe, good people. I mean, the whole Vinnie thing touched me deeply on so many levels.
Absolutely.
His energy and his openness and his warmth was just very touching to me. And I really enjoyed the whole experience and was happy to see the reception that he got.
Definitely, definitely. And we got to meet up with Ron Keel again. And this was a similar situation. On the last episode, we had Dirk Schneider, and you mentioned you did this interview with him, this short interview, but then you got the real stories afterwards.
You had the same thing with Ron Keel.
But it was the reverse. It was the night before I interviewed Ron, I was at the bar, and he even references it in the interview. You know, he went into these detailed, just amazing stories about Yngwie Malmsteen, and it was so, like, no pressure, no microphones, just like...
The microphone kills everything, because, first of all, me trying to sit at a table with Fitty, Udo, Sven, and the manager, and I'm trying to move the mic around to each of them and read like the questions, like trying to remember the questions I wanted to ask. It just takes away from the moment. When you're just talking with a person and shooting the shit, you get a lot.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So it was the same type of deal where I felt like a better interview just hanging with the guy, which it wasn't an interview. It was two guys hanging, and that's why. And, you know, Bill Flanagan, who I used to work with at VH1, who is now on Sirius Radio, he is on Volume. You know, he always used to say that you interview the artist, you know, and then you go out to dinner with him and you get the real story.
That's the truth with every interview I've ever done where I've been face to face with a person.
Yeah.
Because we always hang either before or after, and I get way more stories.
And it reminds me, we recently took Lon Friend out to dinner in New York.
So fun.
And man, the stories he was throwing at us, the Tommy Lee story, I keep thinking about that over and over again.
I know. That
just
was a fun
crazy
night.
Crazy stories, which I'm not sure we're even allowed to repeat, but great stuff. So anyways, on that note, let's get right into my interview with Ron Keel, conducted at the Kiss Expo on January 20th, 2018. There is a video of this, which Emily shot. It is up on the site, talkingmetal.com, talkingrock.net. It's in the show notes for today's episode. So if you want to visually see this, definitely check it out. It looks great. It looks great. It's up on the site. So yeah, check it out. And while you're there, you know, subscribe to our YouTube page, which is youtube.com/talkingmetal. And here we go, Ron Keel.
What'd you call him, Marky? How cute was that? Marky.
Yeah, is that all right? Yeah, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Slick Jekyll and Hyde, this guy. I don't know who he is.
Marky. Sorry. Did I embarrass you?
No.
I'm Ronnie.
You get it.
Ronnie Lee.
I'm Ronnie Lee Keel.
Come on, you get it.
Yeah, I get it.
Cool. Do like five. 5 to 10 minutes.
I'm good. Man, whatever you need.
Okay, cool.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and I'm psyched to be here in the flesh with the one and only Ron Keel. Ron, it was great hanging out with you last night at the bar, hearing all the stories. I wish we had the mic rolling then.
We should have had the mic rolling, and I enjoyed the opportunity to catch up with you because you've been a big supporter of my career through the years. And on the VH1 specials, when I went country, what was this Jekyll and Hyde thing? Having me on your podcast to promote my records through the years, so I appreciate that. Good time last night. I told the entire Yngwie Malmsteen Steeler story. We'll have to get back on the air and do that at some point, but great to see you. Thank you for all your support through the years and for having me back on the show.
Yeah, you bet. And we are here at the KISS Expo in Atlanta. It is January 20th. Of course, you worked with Gene pretty extensively back in the day, but this kind of weekend has been really all about Vinnie Vincent. Did you ever have any run-ins with him back in the day?
The Vinnie era was over when I met Gene. Mark St. John was actually the guitarist in the band when I met Gene and we started working together. But I've jammed with all those guys. You know, Paul Stanley and I have sung together on stage. Gene and I have worked extensively together. But Bruce, Bob, had some drinks with Peter Criss on a couple of occasions. Eric Singer, the list goes on, but I've never jammed with Vinny, but the day is young.
You know, it could happen later. You did a great acoustic set earlier with some KISS songs, some Keel songs. I mean, it was just a great set. Too bad Vinny couldn't jump up there and play with it.
I would welcome that opportunity. Certainly respect the Vinny Vincent era. Creatures of the Night was... We had at the Steeler Mansion in L.A. and Hollywood, when we were trying to make it in Steeler, we had just a few albums because we couldn't afford. We had Scorpions, Blackout, Priest, Screaming for Vengeance, Iron Maiden, Number of the Beast, and KISS, Creatures of the Night. Those four records were in total rotation on our turntable there at the Steeler Mansion. So to come full circle and be a part of this Vinnie Vincent resurfacing is a great honor. And obviously the promoter did a great job getting the word out. The response to Vinny's comeback, if you will, has been fantastic. And I'm just glad to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Let's talk about what's going on with you now. I mean, I recently read that you connected with Dave Elvison of Megadeth, who has this new record label. What's the story behind that? What's going on?
Well, Dave and I are old friends. Obviously, with our roots, we go back a long way. We had the opportunity to play with Dave in Sioux Falls a couple of years ago. We backed him up. He came up and did a Megadeth set. I actually sang Peace Cells and some of those Megadeth songs with Dave. And that's when we really bonded, and I really got a feel for what he was doing business-wise. He's doing everything right with bands like Dollskin. He released that Mark Slaughter album last year, which I thought was a great record. I'm a big Mark Slaughter fan, and Mark's a good friend of mine. So when it came time to do a Ron Keel band album, I hit Dave up and I said, I'd like to work with you. I want to be on this label. And when we got together to sign the deal, sitting across the table from me, Dave Ellison said, Ron, I just want you to be you. Sing your life. Three words, sing your life. He didn't want me to recreate the 80s or be Keel or be Ronnie Lee Keel or Jekyll or Hyde. He wanted me to be who I am now and embraced that metal cowboy brand, so to speak, and created a special imprint for us called EMP Outlaw, which will be releasing the Metal Cowboy album March 2nd, Reloaded, with new bonus tracks, remastered, remixed, and then the Ron Keel Band album coming out this summer with new original music and new versions of the Keel classics that my band has gone back in the studio and re-recorded Because of the Night, Tears of Fire, The Right to Rock, Somebody's Waiting, and I get a chance to do those songs again and do them right this time.
Very cool.
Not that the original versions suck or anything, but the new versions are really kick-ass, trust me.
Cool. And Will there be plans for touring after that, after the original music comes out in the summer, or what's up with 2018 in general for you?
I am always active performing, writing, creating, releasing records. We had an extensive tour schedule the last few years. I don't expect that to change. Big bike events like Sturgis. Last year we toured with Tesla. We're going to play wherever we can play, wherever it makes sense. And, yeah, you can expect to see us out on the road as much as I can possibly get there. Monsters of Rock Cruiser coming up in a few weeks. Looking forward to that. Those are fantastic events. But, yeah, I'm gonna keep playing, keep singing, keep performing as long as I can deliver the goods. I'm anxious to get out there and play the new music for the fans and get back on your show and promote that this summer when the record comes out.
Absolutely. We definitely will make that happen. This is kind of a big question. You've had such an incredible career, you know, going way back to the Steeler days with Yngwie Malmsteen and all the way through everything you've done since then. When you look back at this just massive career that you've had, what are some of your highlights?
You know, they're obviously the Bon Jovi tour, playing with Bon Jovi on Slippery When Wet, when we did 3 nights sold out at the Garden. The sold-out tour of Japan in 86, but now still some of these big events, even the Atlantic Kiss Expo today, the Monsters of Rock cruises that we've done a couple of years ago, well, what was it, 2014, we did the cruise. I did two keel gigs, two solo acoustic gigs, did the All-Star Jam, me and Joel Hextra and Frank Hannon and doing Montrose and, you know, fantastic, the All-Star Jam, Cinderella. Tom Kiefer was unable to make the cruise because of some vocal issues, so Cinderella recruited some of the other singers on board. I got to sing with Cinderella and do that gig. And so I've done, what, 6 gigs in 4 days. I'm done. I'm clocking out. I'm going to spend the rest of the day on the beach. And then my phone rings, and it was Lita Ford saying, "Ron, I want you to do the Ozzy duet with me tonight to close the show on the Monsters of Rock cruise." And obviously, I said, yes, okay. And learned the song on the spot and did that duet with Lita on the cruise. So that even at this point in my life, I'm still making great memories, having dreams come true every day, and just still glad to be in the game and making music and doing what I love to do. And I embrace my roots, my history. I mean, I know that certain fans have had they're confused about who is this guy, and I get it. I don't know who I am either, but I love to explore different landscapes, whether it's even before I sang metal, I did jazz or blues or classical music. I have awards as a kid from doing classical tunes. And to me, music is a beautiful landscape of mountains, oceans, and everything in between. And I want to explore all the territory I can while I can.
Very good. Now, the new music that's coming in the summer, the original music, who's playing with you on this?
This is the Ron Keel Band. These guys have been with me for 3 years now. We rebranded the project about a year ago as the Ron Keel Band. And Gino Arce, El Diablo on the bass guitar, who's been with me for 19 years now. He's also the bass player in Keel. DC Cawthorn on lead guitar, and two South Dakota natives, South Dakota Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, Jeff Kohler, the Rev on drums, and Dakota Scott on keyboards. It's a fantastic group of guys that, if it weren't for them, I mean, what I've been through the last year with rebranding the band, my wife going through breast cancer and all the struggles that we've been through, these guys have been my support group, so to speak. And we've kept the music going and been out there on tour and on stage, and they deserve this break. I believe that they've never had an album on the charts. I've seen my albums climb the charts and fall off, but this summer those guys are going to actually open up a Billboard chart and see their band on the charts, and thanks to Dave Ellefson and Tom Hazard at EMP. And I want to make those dreams come true for those guys, because they've been there for me.
Absolutely. And I know we spoke about your wife last night in private, and I'm just glad to hear that things are looking better and she's feeling better, and our hearts and prayers and thoughts are with you and her and your family.
Thank you. It's been a tough ride. I didn't know when she was diagnosed if I would be able to keep going. Can I leave town? Can I even leave town? I mean, how am I going to get on a plane or a bus and leave her at home in her condition after she was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer? after the first couple of chemo treatments, she responded well, and I thought, you know, I've got to keep working. I can't just, she takes a lot of energy and joy from my career and my music. She is as musical as I am, and she supported what I did. And so that energy that I was bringing home, excited about the new band, the new songs, the new show, the everything that I do, I think hopefully helped her on the way to recovery. But she's my number one priority. And if I had to stay home forever, I'll just be broadcasting live on Facebook from the Ron Keel fan cave. And I'm going to do some of that as well. Got a new site launching at ronkeel.com where I'm going to be doing some shows from the basement, showcasing some vintage material, some of the Keel stuff live at Madison Square Garden, all these live recordings that I have in the archives, and just sharing that stuff with the fans on the website the next year. So it's going to be a great ride.
What's the website again?
ronkeel.com. I think I have 6 albums coming out this year. As I mentioned on stage today, I made the announcement, the Final Frontier and the self-titled Keel album from 87, finally re-released by Rock Candy this year. Derek Oliver has been a strong supporter, and he's worked hard for a year to get the rights from Universal to release those albums. So we're excited about that as well.
Absolutely. It's always an honor talking with you and hanging out with you. Thank you for being on Talking Metal with us.
Let's talk metal.
Cool.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, man. Really appreciate that.
Take me now, baby, here as I am. Pull me close, try and understand. Desires come, lose the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we breathe. Come on. Now, can't
Because the Night by Ron Keel, a song that he did acoustically at the Atlanta Kiss Expo. Always great to talk with Ron. Look forward to catching up with him again when he has some of his new music out later this year. What a great guy. And, you know, he's always making reference to this Jekyll and Hyde thing.
The comment you made on most least metal moments.
Yeah, so I didn't even remember this.
Do your listeners know that you were a talking head on that show?
Oh, they might. I don't know. I was on VH1 many years ago, probably like 2003, I'm guessing it was, on some of their shows as an on-air guy. And it's on YouTube because Emily found it. And I, you know, every time I see Ron or talk to him, he mentions this Jekyll and Hyde thing. And I honestly usually have no clue what he's talking about. But we went back and we watched it on YouTube. And maybe I'll try to get
VH1's Least Metal Moment.
Yeah, was the name of the TV show. And I'll link this also in today's show notes because it's up on YouTube, assuming I can find it. And I refer to him, you know, who I loved, like that I was a little disappointed when he went country, and I referred to him as kind of a Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
And the way it's cut, it has a bit of a negative vibe to it.
Well, those shows were all about getting a sound bite. And I remember you and I knowing what the content of the show was going to be and like sitting in my apartment in Brooklyn and being like, okay, we got to think of like a good sound bite for this or this or this piece. And they picked yours because you had a sound bite, which was,
right.
Who is this person? It was like Jekyll and Hyde. That's right. A sound bite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
it wasn't meant to be offensive.
But it obviously stuck with Ron because he still brings it up. And I honestly, when we ran into him in the hotel lobby, the first thing he said was like, Jekyll and Hyde. And you know, I kind of remembered, oh, I must have said something about that on TV. But I didn't even remember what TV show it was or what. But yeah, so I referred to him as Jekyll and Hyde, which I do admit that I was working on a show called It Came from the 80s, Metal Goes Pop, back in 1996. I was at MTV News, and we did this great special. And he had sent us a VHS tape of him with his guitar and the pickup truck and the dog. And I remember thinking it was great because it made good television, but being a little disappointed because this was the 90s, you know, metal wasn't cool anymore. And I had so much respect for his music that he had done with Keel and
Did
Steeler.
Did you feel like it was another person jumping ship?
Or like, yeah, I think maybe I did. I don't know. And I mean, in retrospect now, many years later, I don't, you know, people did what they had to do to make a living. And I now view Ron Keel as not just this metal guy, but somebody who's really rounded musically, you know. And he mentions that, you know, in the interview that you just heard, that he does, you know, jazz, classical, country, and probably more than anything else, he's a hard rock, heavy metal guy. And think about
what we listen to. We don't only listen to metal. We just bought tickets to see Radiohead.
Right.
We have like a vast, you know, kind of.
Right. Variety of shows that we go to see. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, on those VH1 shows, I was trying to be Mr. Metal, you know, too. That's what they wanted me to be. So
you were Chiron as a metal expert.
Right, yeah.
That was what you were. And it was supposed to be least metal moments. So least metal moment would be someone moving from metal to country.
Yes, yeah.
You weren't in the wrong. And, you know.
I hopefully didn't hurt anybody's career or anything by saying that.
Of course you didn't.
But Ron Keel, what a great guy. I love that guy. I can't wait to hang with him again.
He's awesome.
I'd love it if he could get some gigs out here in the East, like at Dingbats or somewhere like in the city or something, like New Jersey, New York City. It'd be great to see Keel out this way playing. I'd love to see him play electric. I mean, the acoustic set at the Expo is great, but I'd love to just a full out electric show by Keel would be just fantastic. So I'm hoping for that. And Ron, please try to get out this way to the New Jersey, New York area. All right. So another cool thing at the Expo that I discovered, Emily, was this band Classic, and that's Classic with a K, Classic 78. And these guys, they blow me away. They are replicating the Kiss sound in the 70s perfectly, but with new original music. It's so brilliant. So you'll hear a song and you're like, oh, this is a Gene song. Oh, this is a Paul song. This is a song. And it sounds exactly like Kiss. Like this could have been like the lost Kiss album or the lost Kiss demos or something. And they do just such a good job. And I'll let the music do the talking, and then we'll get into an interview with Tom and Rory from this band. Again, Classic 78. Love these guys. I really only discovered them at the Kiss Expo. They gave me their CD, and I'm digging it so much. It's really, if you're a Kiss fan, you have to check these guys out. So much fun. This is Jendel. And any Ace fan knows that is the spaceman's home world, Jendel, Ace Frehley's home world. And this sounds like it's Ace Frehley. It sounds like Ace wrote it. It sounds like Ace is singing it. Sounds like Ace is playing on it. And sounds like Kiss. This is Jendel by Classic 78, followed by my interview conducted at the Atlanta Kiss Expo with Classic 78.
Mark Striegel coming to you from the Atlanta Kiss Expo on January 20th. Of course, Vinnie Vincent has resurfaced here. But we, today, on this episode, are talking with Classic 78. Tom and Rory are here, a band that's been getting a lot of buzz recently. Let's talk about what you guys do. And when you say Classic 78, it's, of course, with K's, K-L-A-S-S-I-K, 78. Very Kiss inspired band, but not Kiss covers. What are you guys doing?
What we're doing, Classic 78, is what we do is we write and record original songs that sound as close to vintage 70s Kiss as you could possibly imagine without actually being the original guys doing it today. So imagine if there was a lost record from the 70s that popped up that was the successor to Love Gun, you know, where there were a whole new batch of songs that sounded like the logical continuation from the rock and roll vibe instead of going into something like Dynasty where they became a little bit more poppy. So, you know, even though we call it Classic 78, what we tried to do is stick with some milestones like Rock and Roll Over and Dressed to Kill. And there are bits of each of those 70s albums. There's some Love Gun type of production on it. But a lot of people are talking about comparisons on our original material between Rock and Roll Over and Side 4 of Alive 2. You know, those are the comparisons that the fans are making. And those are great comparisons as far as we're concerned, you know. And, you know, we released an original EP back in February on iTunes and CD Baby. It was strictly a download. That was in February of 2017. And then we surprised everybody and released a second EP on Halloween Day without any announcement of an additional six songs. And the reaction to the second one is just as strong as the first. The fan base has really clamored towards it. In terms of the fan base of Kiss that likes those old records and misses that sound, you know, Kiss isn't going to do that, or may choose or not choose to do that kind of sound anymore, but this is something we've been able to scratch that itch with a certain segment of the fan base, you know.
And as far as the songwriting process goes, you're having to craft these songs in a style that you would think Kiss would, and like, how does that work as a songwriter and as beyond the songwriting, the production element and all that type of stuff?
Actually, Tommy is the chief songwriter, but we collaborate. We've been best friends for a number of years, and we, obviously huge fans, collaborated together on the material. He'll bring me an idea, and we'll work it out. As he said in the past, like maybe I might play a drum pattern. He's like, oh, well, maybe we might want to go this route instead of change. That might change the melody around or the arrangement slightly. But in the end of the day, we play it back. Does this sound like vintage Kiss? You know, it's all got, it's got to meet the litmus test of Rock and Roll Over, the guitar sound, the edge, the drive that they had, the hunger, you know, that and people that come up to us are saying, keep doing what you're doing, because they hear it too. So we obviously we're pleased with when they hear that, because you know that's the true test, is when the fans hear it just like you do, you know, and know the true, they know the difference when you don't do it right. So
first off, production-wise, when you're in the studio, is there something that, like, do you have to say, well, we can't use that reverb because that reverb came, you know, in 1985 or something, and we have to stick to authentic 70s, you know, that doesn't sound analog enough. How much of that goes into the process?
That's a lot of it, and really what it is, you know, we're not using old vintage equipment or anything like that. We're just keeping the sounds really simple. So when we mic the drum kit, you know, what's going down to tape is an actual sound of a drum kit and not a processed clap of thunder on the snare and stuff like that. So when you hear the snare on these songs, it sounds like a real snare drum, and it's shaped and EQ'd to sound reminiscent of Peter's tone on Rock and Roll Over or Peter's snare tone on Side 4 of Alive 2. But what we did was we kept all the production simple. Make sure that the kit sounds like a kit. Make sure the guitars aren't overdriven with distorted, you know, with way too much distortion. Let's keep it with a little bit of crunch but some definition. Make sure the bass sounds like a clean bass line. And we just figured if it's simple going to tape, it's going to be easy to shape it into a little bit like Rock and Roll Over, or this song sounds like a Love Gun outtake. Let's kind of get some of that Love Gun brightness on that type of thing. So we just started with a simple outlook, and that's what we used as our foundation, and it worked.
Awesome. Let's go back to the songwriting, though. Tom, you write most of the songs. Do you... Obviously, you are a student of Kiss, and you need to be a student of Kiss to write these songs in that style without necessarily ripping off a song,
yeah, exactly.
You know? So that's got to be a fine tightrope to walk.
It is. It's really hard. I mean, what's good is we can come up with songs that are very reminiscent of Kiss songs, but they're not total rip-offs. So if I come up with a riff that sounds similar to the attitude or vibe of All American Man, the vocal melody that our our singer, Joe, who sings all the Paul vocals, his vocal melody is not reminiscent of All American Man at all. It's a brand new melody. It's not even a melody that's on another Kiss record. So we're taking familiar sounds and familiar approaches, but putting a fresh, you know, coat of paint on them with fresher ideas. So that's where the tightrope happens, is where, you know, make sure that the music is reminiscent and has those characteristics and those qualities of those first six Kiss studio records, but let's make sure that there's enough newness to it, so it's something new and fresh for the fan base, but it's yet very familiar and very comfortable for them, you know. So basically, in short, once we get that feeling, oh wow, when we hear it back and we get those feelings as a Kiss fan, then we know, okay, that's good, we're on the right track. And then hopefully and fortunately the fan base has reacted the same way, or a segment of the fan base at least, you know.
Right on. And speaking of the fans, guys in Anthrax have responded to this. Is that right?
Oh yeah. Right out of the gate, Charlie Benante, Eddie. I think he heard Eddie Trunk mention it. Or
and Scott Ian was talking about it too. Is that right?
I'm not sure.
I don't know if I heard Scott talk about it, but he might have because
I thought I heard Scott talk about it.
He might have because they're all those guys are all Kiss freaks.
Yes,
you know.
They are, yeah.
But, you know, they've been very supportive, and we've heard from Mike Portnoy has said some good things online, and, you know, the guys from Gene's band, and even Gene and Paul, we've heard that, you know, Gene loves it. Paul has said some nice things to an acquaintance of ours and to friends of his who have since talked to us and let us know, hey, just a heads up, Paul thinks you guys did a great job. He enjoys listening to it.
Obviously, yeah. I'm sorry, that's the ultimate compliment, you know. I mean, now I joke, but... Now we can die as musicians because our heroes, you know, gave us the blessing. You know what I mean? So it's
for a lot of us, Kiss was like our Beatles. You know, they you know, for our generation, or at least my generation, you know, guy in his 40s. You know, it's like that was the band for me.
Same with us. We're all in our mid to late 40s. You know, so being little guys in the 70s and hearing this stuff and seeing it and going, wow, it just burned in our brains. It's burning our childhoods, you know. It's all nostalgia and good stuff, you know.
6 years old, I saw that Paul Lynn Halloween special. It changed my life, you know.
Yeah, Kiss in you know, full color and emotion on the Paul Lynn special. That's and not only that, but those performances are lip-synced, and they're playing and performing in those. The fact that they're lip-synced, it doesn't mean squat. Those, they're going for it. They're out for the jugular on that stuff. So as a little kid, you see that, and you're like, holy crap, you know. It stays with you.
Very good. And final question, kind of about the expo here. This has been Vinnie Vincent, a big part of Kistry, if you will. This has been a really kind of historic weekend, if you will, for the history of Kiss, because Vinnie Vincent has reemerged after a long time. Were you guys at the question and answer session last night?
No, unfortunately, we weren't. There was a load of people waiting for that, and he saw and met with a lot of people, and from all accounts, Vinny is very happy and been very humbled, and is feeling really positive about you know, what the fans have to say to him after not seeing him for so long. And you know, as a Kiss fan, you know, it's just nice to know that the guy's doing well and he's healthy and happy. And he's been gone for 20 years. That's a long time to be off the grid, especially in the Kiss world, you know. This is a big deal. You know, I'm sure it's a gigantic deal for him, because who knows what 2018 will bring as far as what Vinny has up his sleeve with any projects or anything else. And, you know, as you probably noticed, Mark, and, you know, for some reason it seems like the Kiss family is kind of reconnecting the dots with each other at this point, between Ace's reconnections with Paul and Gene and you know, Vinny and the Kulik brothers on the boat and all that stuff. And, you know, that can only be a good thing for the fans, you know. And as long as everybody's healthy and happy, that's just the way it should be.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as all those guys that you just mentioned go, from Paul to, you know, Paul and Gene and Ace and the Kulik brothers and Vinny, I mean, let's face it, they're not young men anymore, and there's just, it's nice to think that maybe they could all kind of come together and embrace what they did for us as fans, you know, before it's too late, you know. And you know, not to sound grim and not to end the show on a grim note, but the end is nearer than we think, probably.
That's right. And the fact that, you know, if you're looking at your history, or you're looking at the guy who you might have been angry at 10 years ago, and now all you can think about is the positive things and the creative things that you did together that made people happy, if that's how you're going to end your career or that's how the end game of your career is going to go, that's a good way to be as far as any band, let alone Kiss fans. But the fact that Kiss fans are so loyal and so interested in all the different eras and all the different members, the more that they reconnect, even if they never play together again, people just like to see that they're reconnecting.
I agree 100%. Guys, if you don't mind, I'd love to play one of your songs for our listeners. What can we play? What do you guys want to play?
Standing Tall has been always one of my favorites. So I mean that's classic. Not to you know, to coin a phrase on the band name, but it is it's very classic and quintessential Kiss. So Standing Tall is a solid, you know, it's a tip of the hat to All American Man.
Classic with a K, just like the Cruise with a K, the Kistery with a K. We are talking Classic 78. Tom and Rory, thank you for joining me on Talking Metal. Let's check this out now on the Talking Metal Podcast.
By Classic 78 right there on Talking Metal. Big thanks to Tom and Rory for joining me. Check those guys out. That's going to do it for today's episode of Talking Metal. And thank you, Emily, as always.
So fun. Loved it.
Bye.